We're very thankful to for our brother Jeff this weekend. And this morning he'll bring to us the word of exhortation. He has entitled his exhortation this morning, Real Heroes, Brother Jeff.
What do you think of when you think of heroes of the Bible? David in the battle against Goliath. Daniel in the lion's den. Samson with the jawbone of an ass. We look to people who are strong. People who have survived against great odds. People who have battled overwhelming foes and won. We look to people who have performed great acts. This weekend, we looked at Abraham, a man, I think, made famous not by a great act, but by a simple act of faith. A real hero. Someone that we can relate to. Someone that we can set as an example for our own lives. The act that set the stage for our discussions this weekend was Abraham's simple act of believing God. We read about it in Romans 4. Let's take a look at that again. Romans 4 at 18. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham had the faith, the simple faith, to believe that what God had promised him, the promise of a son, would come to pass. We had read the account from Genesis 15 with Abraham standing alone at night. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And God had brought Abraham forth and said, look now toward heaven and see the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Paul continued to explain to us in Romans that the idea of having your faith imputed to you for righteousness isn't unique to Abraham. We have that same principle applied to us in our lives. What do we have to believe in order to have it imputed to us for righteousness? We have to believe in this bread and this wine. We have to believe that God gave his only son to die on our behalf. That this bread really does represent the body of our slain Lord, and this wine really is his blood. And that through it, we do receive remission of our sins. That we are justified by the blood of Christ. We're made right with God. And the hardest part we have to believe is that this gift is given to us freely, regardless of our actions. Even if we perform great acts of righteousness, we cannot earn salvation. And even if we fail and sin, we do not lose God's gift of mercy and grace. We can place ourselves outside of God's mercy. We can walk away from this table. We can stay home. We can be unrepentant. We can deny God's grace. But if we simply focus our lives on following the Lord and continuing in good works, we'll be blessed with this free gift of eternal life. We've all received a pardon. A pardon that has released us from the prison of death. But we're not out on some kind of probation. It's not like that if we're caught sinning, the judge will put us back into prison. We've received a very special kind of pardon, a pardon that forgives our sins forever. But if you decide you don't like life on the straight and narrow, and if you decide that you enjoyed your old life back in prison better than your new life, you can go back into prison. And if you make that choice, the pardon has no more power over you. But if you appreciate this gift that you've been given, and you're so moved by this great gift that you dedicate your life to helping others, you no longer have to fear facing the judge ever again. In his life, Abraham understood and believed in the same principle. Abraham saw the salvation of God. He understood it. He had faith in it. That's what motivated Abraham to action. That is what drove him to do the great things that are recorded about him. James speaks about that relationship between works and faith in James chapter 2 that we read this morning. Look what he says in James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? James 2, verse 14. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere with God if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? The faith in this belief that we proclaim to have, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that these emblems are real, and through his death forgives us our sins. This faith must have some sort of effect upon us. It must motivate us to some form of action. What we'll see is that Abraham's belief motivated him to action. James continues in verse 15. He says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is useless, is impotent, is dead. Faith in God's ability to extend his mercy to us and justify us in his sight without actions that are motivated and prompted at our appreciation of that gift is useless. It's dead. We have to act. We have to produce something good out of our lives. We can't just expect God to remove all the bad from our lives and like what he sees. We actually have to have made something good out of our lives so that when God removes the evil, there's something there that remains, something good for God to see. You see, it wasn't solely Abraham standing there on that mountaintop, looking up at the stars and believing what God had said that saved him. He acted upon it. The promise of a son was what Abraham had believed. Romans 4 said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham believed it so strongly, he was so fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform, that Abraham was able to act upon those beliefs. Remember Hebrews 11 we read earlier? By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. NIV says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your seed will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham believed. He acted upon his faith that God was able to raise the dead. He had faith that God would provide a son. He had provided a son once, even though Sarah's womb was dead. He'd do it again, even if Isaac was dead. He acted upon his faith. That's what we read in James chapter 2, verse 21. James 2, 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. His faith was made complete, was made mature when he actually acted upon it. Without acting upon it, it's not perfect. It's not complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith. James, Paul in his letter to James, or James writes, he extends this idea we've been talking about all weekend. Yeah, we're justified by grace, we're justified by faith, but that faith needs to have works, or it's dead. And therefore, a man is justified by his works and not by faith only. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. A person is justified by what he does and not just by faith alone. Because God wants us to do something with our lives. He doesn't want us to worry about sin, to be weighted down, to be entangled. He's taken care of that for us. He's removed that from our lives. But he wants us to be concerned about doing something good, something productive, something useful with our lives. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. God has given us this life for this purpose. We've been made alive. We were dead in our sins, but he gave us a new life specifically for the purpose of serving him with good works. It's the useful, not the great, that God wants from us. He isn't calling on us to slay dragons, to defeat enemies. He isn't calling us to burn our children on fire or to go on a raid against 1,000 Canaanites. Quite the opposite. He's chosen us because he knows that we're weak. He's chosen us for our weakness, to show forth his strength. He simply wants us to find useful, helpful, encouraging, uplifting things to do for people, to reflect some of the love that he's shown us in giving his son to die for us. To me, that's what a real hero is. A hero isn't a man who goes out, fights a battle, and wins a victory. A hero is a man who stays with his family, doesn't leave his wife, brings up children that are strong in the Lord, is a member of an ecclesia and sets up chairs, does useful things, not great things. Let's close with Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We used to follow the sinful ways of this world and walk according to its path, but we've been saved from that. We've been given new life, and now we walk with God. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Verse 6, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. How does God show the exceeding riches of his grace? Does he say, oh, look at the wonderful group of righteous people who I've chosen? No. For God to show his exceeding riches of his grace is to say, look at this lot of sinners. I've extended my grace to them. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. We've come together this morning to remember that gift. Physical, tangible proof that God loves each one of us so much that he gave us this gift. He gave us his only Son to die upon the cross that we might live. Jesus is very much like Abraham, a real hero, an example for us in our personal lives. Jesus didn't win any great battles. He didn't lead his people to a wonderful victory, but he believed God's promise. He was faithful, knew that God would raise him from the dead, and he asks us to do the same, because we are created anew with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are created anew, not to just continue the same life we had before. We're created anew unto good works. We need to fill our lives with good works in memory of the gift we've been given in our Lord Jesus. Thank you.